Not live and coming to you from the fabulous Sunset Strip in Hollywood, California. It's the Bob special edition of the Halloween Bob Dean Show.
Yay!
Which, of course, will be on after Halloween, but so what?
Boo.
Boo, boo. I want to welcome Kathy St. George, my
co-hostess,
and Dennis Frankenstein Olsen over there, and of course me, Bob Dean. And ladies and gentlemen, Sammy Junio.
Oh,
yay. Producer of the Bob Dean Show.
Who Hi, Mom.
And who, now we can see her. And of course, Joe White. Hi, Joe. And Maybelline's around here somewhere. There's Maybelline.
My familiar.
And with the special Halloween edition, I'm already over this mask. So you all can take yours off or leave one. Yay, it's really me, everybody. Don't
Yay,
be scared.
Bob.
Yay.
I'm really a witch, so I'm just going to.
Right. I mean, you're a. Kathy St. George is on time today.
You're
y'all,
bewitching.
I told her
I was
45
half hour
minutes
early.
I know, because I was wrong on the show time and I forgot to tell you.
We all make it work.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 58.
Sorry.
59.
50
of the Bob Dean Show.
Yeah. It's my age. I'll let you know.
Yeah. Let's see. Welcome, everybody. I am just so aggravated with people that park at handicapped spots because they're fat.
Oh, boy.
Or something like that. You know, when people that really need to have those spaces don't. And I hate people that get in their cars and sit there and make phone calls and such.
Exactly.
When they know that you're anxious to park in that spot. But other than that, I just love the world.
Well,
Yay.
I had a fight. I was
Good, it's
Sammy
almost
with,
Christmas.
With a woman because I was actually dropping off a handicapped person. And she was taking two spots. And I said, do you mind just pulling up one or the other? And she said, I'll be here 4 seconds, 5 seconds. Well, 10 seconds later... And I have to say, I said, okay, you effing, which I never do. I never do that.
Did she have her handicap placard on?
She wasn't handicapped.
That's
she
what I'm saying.
Just
She's
texting.
Just, I'm just going to be a second.
And
Go
so
to hell, you
I blocked her.
Atta girl. Exactly. And you know what I would have done? I would have dropped off. There you go. Look. Pull it down a little bit.
But I really had
Ooh,
a handicapped
perfect.
Girl.
So. Well, anyway, it's a happy Halloween.
Oh my God,
happy after Halloween, everybody.
Yay.
I will be at the Laugh Factory Monday the 6th or 5th. Which is this Monday coming up.
One of those days. Come both, just in case.
Oh, yeah. And don't forget that. No, vote. The election's on Tuesday, which we will be recording the Bob Dean Show. Yay.
Yay.
With Eden Alpert is going to be our guest, too. I don't know her. She just got married. But we'll get more into that later. And let's see. I will be at the Laugh Factory on Monday the 5th. Please come to the show. I can get discount tickets. I will put that up on my Facebook page, Bob Dean.
Yay.
Yay. And let's see what else. I think that's about it. Please subscribe to us on iTunes, follow us on iHeartRadio and YouTube, and you can also listen. Thanks to Zach Herndon. Hi, Zach.
Hi, Zach.
In Bloomington, Indiana, you can listen to us on my website, bobastrolicomic.com. I texted Zach today to see if he wanted to be a call-in.
And?
That is look at me.
I love her. She looks like she's going to catch a hockey puck.
I know. That a girl.
Great.
I talked to Zach. We texted today. He's doing really well. He's in with one of the big TV stations in Bloomington, Indianapolis, I guess.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. He's going to tell us more about that. You know, but he's busy, busy boy.
Sure.
But we do miss you and come and visit us here in Los Angeles. And let's see what else. We're going to talk about historical roasts with our friend Sammy, because Sammy not only is the producer of the Bob Dean Show, yay, along with our cinematographer Joe White,
yay.
But I'm sorry, we went to last night, but we got our thank you so much for putting us on your VIP guest
sure,
list.
Of course.
I'm so sorry that I screwed it up.
No, it's no worries.
Because I was saying to Dennis, I said, I was thinking she probably has a list because all these fabulous people were getting out while the other people were, there were three different lines that they moved us, shuffled us from outside.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, we waited for, you know, because of the popularity of the show and especially the first one, there were quite a few people and I'm sure they were, you know, organizing how to do it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a little too much concrete standing for an old man like me.
I'm sorry about that, but
No. We're sorry we missed it.
We should put mattresses out there next time.
Well, then you can come with us next time.
There's definitely mattresses out there already.
Can we bring Kathy with us the next time then?
Yeah.
Great. Tell us about historical roasts. Now, we hadn't been to see one, Dennis or Kathy and I, but I did see one that used to be next door at the comic book store.
Yes, at Nerd Melt, yes.
At Nerd Melt. And that was the roast of Hitler. And it was friggin' hilarious.
Oh, that's gotta be really
now,
a good one.
Why don't you start if you don't mind, seriously, because this is big time.
Absolutely.
Start from the beginning of how it started, what it's all about.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. So, Historical Roast started as a live show. Eddie Firth and Ryan Pigg are the co-hosts and my co-producers. They had this idea. We were all interns at their Nerd Melt showroom 4 years ago. And
now, Nerd Melt showroom. Used to be next door.
Yes.
It was a huge comic book store. Mm-hmm. It was a palace.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that they're not there anymore.
Rest in peace, Meltdown.
Yeah. And then in the back was the theater.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So we were all interns at the Nerd Melt showroom, and Eddie and Ryan had this idea, and they reached out to me to ask help produce the show because I've been producing the show, or I've been producing live comedy shows for a while, and it just snowballed from there. So Historical Roast is a show where we roast historical figures. We had a rule that the historical figure had to be dead and their special guest. So the format of the show initially was one comedian dressed as a historical figure, one special surprise guest that was related to, not familial, but related to that historical figure. So our first show was Abraham Lincoln, and our special surprise guest was John Wilkes Booth. And then at that time,
Historical Roast.
Eddie Firth and Ryan Pigg, they did it. But at that time, the other comedians on the dais, were just regular comedians in plain clothes. But as the show has progressed, we have now switched the format to being everybody is a historical figure or related to the main historical figure.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So it's been a crazy ride. We started at the Nerdist School. We had a few shows there, and then we moved over to the Nerd Melt showroom, and we were there for a while, and then we started having spots over at the comedy store, the belly room at the comedy store. And then once Nerd Melt closed, we started going up at Dynasty Typewriter. So currently, right now, we have a monthly, well, not monthly right now because we're filming this show. So we're at the belly room, and we're also at Dynasty Typewriter. And we started a sister show of Historical Roast called Fictional Roast, which is basically, it's the same idea, only the characters are from a fictional universe. So Lord of the Rings, Marvel, et cetera.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really a real joy. And like one of my favorite things as on show day is when you walk into the green room or whatever and everybody's getting ready in costume and they're all getting ready, like mentally preparing,
so
and they all
fun.
Have like serious faces, but they're all in this like stupid costume. It's
well, tell us
that.
About
so
tell
great.
Us about
it's
who's
so great.
About the show last night, and it's Joe Rogan is doing it, right?
No, so
did I say that? I hope I didn't screw that up. You can cut that part out, right?
Oh
now.
Yeah, no, we have. Oh, we I can't announce future roasts.
But
that's okay. Joe Rogan's not on the show, but so. As our live show is going, we get in touch with the producer, AJ Tesler, who I was working with on his show. And he asked me about if I have anything else that I'd like, any other shows that I like. I was just like, oh, yeah, I work on this show called Historical Roast. And so he was just like, oh, yeah, this can be a TV show. And we signed a deal with him. And then later on, we signed another deal with another bigger production company, OBB. And they were the ones... When we signed with OBB, that's when Jeff Ross signed on
Jeff
with
Ross.
Us.
Thank you. Because he's a riot.
Yeah, he's great. And he hosts the show that we're taping for Netflix. So eventually we get signed. We get a deal with Netflix. And right now we are in the midst of week one of taping our 6 episodes.
Bravo. Congratulations to you and the gang. That's big time.
Yeah, it's
that's big time. That's very, very exciting.
It's out of control.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, absolutely.
What percentage of the people that showed up were dressed in the Egyptian period?
It was funny.
Because it was Cleopatra.
It was Cleopatra. Last night was Cleopatra.
What a hell of a thing to miss.
Yeah, it was insane.
I know, that was awesome.
But actually, one of the OBB producers, Michael Ratner, he just threw out the idea. He's just like, well, we have a costume department. Let's get people in costume. So we didn't have a lot of people dress up on their own, but we got at least three rows of people in costume because
for
they used...
audience flash. Good. Mm-hmm.
So the, yeah, so they used the costume department's stuff, which was a really cool call.
Oh, I love that. You know, because Cleopatra's actually Greek.
Well, I want to know, too, you know, what kind of questions were they asking her, like about after dinner mints and stuff like that?
Oh, no, they didn't ask her questions. It just, yeah, it was
I love it.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, you're right. No,
it's,
well,
it's been a crazy
was there a
experience.
Brother there? Hmm? Her brother.
Well, we had on the dais we had Julius Caesar,
Jules.
We had Mark Antony, and we had the goddess Isis.
Of course.
Oh, mighty Isis.
Oh, yeah, and it was always missing. It was a riot.
And
it
an
was
asp.
Really great.
I would have had an asp.
And we did have an asp. Yeah.
Okay.
The writers of the show have been really incredible, and they wrote in like drop-ins or whatever. So there was a.
I can't wait to see it.
Well, we're gonna go to a taping of an upcoming show for sure, because we went
absolutely,
and we, like as I said at the beginning, I screwed it up. We screwed it up.
We all did.
But this now we know how to arrive though.
Yeah,
you know,
get a limo.
Exactly. Oh, we'll take the roadmaster.
Well, we didn't know we were on the guest list.
Oh my god! Hell yeah.
Well, that was like I mean, said, we were told, but I didn't hear.
Anyway, I'm glad it was a success. I can't wait for future more. And don't forget to mention to your friend who got this whole thing, one of your friends who got this thing together on the TV side, about the Bob Dean Show.
Yay!
It would make a fabulous Netflix show. Speaking of Netflix shows, I got to change the topic to the friggin' Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, so good.
Oh, my God.
Is that listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you think things like Two Broke Girls and Two and a Half Men are funny, you're lame because they suck. This Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Zach and I actually started watching. He's the one that told me about it. That and BoJack Horseman, which is one of my friggin' favorites. But this Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, it's just friggin' hilarious. It's been binge watching it for the last couple nights.
Oh, good.
I mean, like, I'm talking starting at 11 and going to bed at 4.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't stop.
It is friggin' hilarious.
It is so funny.
You think it's you so cannot, stupid. You can't, I know, you can't.
I know. She's so what quirky.
But what is it that we were laughing about?
The mouth is the eyes of the lower face.
Oh, that the mouth is the eyes of the lower face, and the teeth are the boobs of the mouth. That's what the teeth are the boobs. Yeah. That's what the rich society bitches.
Oh, so good.
What's her name? What's the girl's name that stars in it?
Ellie Kemper.
Mm-hmm. And then the one that I know that cracks me up the most is friggin' Amy Sedaris.
Oh, sure.
And she plays BB. It's so stinking funny. And every character is brilliant.
Great.
Carol Kane and Titus.
Titus Andromedon.
Titus Andromedon. Yeah. If y'all have never seen it, please, you've got to watch it. It is hilarious. What did you call her? The short bus?
Strawberry
short bus. Carol Kane goes, listen here, strawberry short bus.
Oh, what she? What was that lady? She freestyles. She goes, "Oh, I thought you were a statue of Ronald McDonald."
You just watch it because I don't know. Really, I don't even know how many episodes there are, because we probably watched about 8 of them last night.
Nice.
And I can't wait to get home tonight and watch some more. And I'm just going to
kill
me
when we binge watched it too.
We'll just have to go right. But yeah, Netflix has some great programming.
Tina Fey's awesome.
I sure do.
Man.
Yeah, we're up into the part where Tina Fey's starting to play her. Well, I'm not going to.
It's fine. It's been out. It's been out.
I know, but there's a lot of people out there in Bob Dean Show land.
Yay. Yay.
Who may not have seen it. Well, but anyway, so we love Netflix and
I would just watch So Sorry. I think it's another comedy thing, and it was really good. They had to deal with the fact that on the second episode that their little girl didn't like people that were brown.
Oh gosh.
Because, and how do you teach that and she goes, and she's like, oh my God, my child's a racist. But, and it turns out it wasn't that
she just didn't like suntan people.
No, she was just mad at the girl for something. And she was like, no, I'm not mad at her anymore. So now I don't care. I just used that excuse. But she was like, well, it's the color of chocolate. She goes, but I don't like dark chocolate. And she's like, oh my God, what do I do? She's taking her to a psychiatrist and everything. But it was so funny because it was dealing with stuff you really have to deal with. I mean, you know, it wasn't like she didn't like a certain kind of people. She just, I like my color. She was like, and I was so shocked.
Like mine.
And they dealt with it so well. And it turned out that she just was mad at her.
I'm two-toned
totally
now.
Different.
My other watch band matches my liver spots.
Oh, God. I know. I get spots, too. Thank God I'm a makeup artist.
Oh, please. This guy, because remember, folks, I am your future.
It's
the dental arc we're working on, Sam. So let's see what else is going on. I'm so excited about that. And Kathy, what's new with you?
New with me? Geez, that's kind of like my shoes, but I'm returning them.
Are you Persian?
Yeah.
No, shop and
I'm
return?
Not Persian.
It's a fact, ladies and gentlemen.
They didn't fit right. They never returned anything.
Okay, we can cut that out.
That's okay, because I kind of like that. I was a salesperson once.
Wait, now I can put this on and ask questions and nobody will know it's
me. I'm in a new book that's out on Amazon called Walls of Fame, and I was in one of the posters with Sergei Fedorov. And for any of you,
congratulations!
There were in the '80s and '90s that bought sports posters. If you were young, and you had them on your walls, it's a book from all your favorite sports posters, the Kostakos brothers, and also. If you're younger, you're seeing a part of sports history. So it's a great book, and it's all sports posters with some sexy girls in it, too.
Nice. Congratulations.
That's good. Congratulations.
And I was young then.
Sure to be a best.
Well, you're still beautiful. You're just sure to be a best. Girl, you're a head turner.
Walls of Fame, Amazon.
Well, I'm in a book, too, Amazon. That's coming out, but I can't remember the name of it. The Cheryl Charming, I know, is the author, and it's about cocktails. Oh, here's a text from you about where to park in fucking Hollywood. Try parking north of Sunset up Gardner at the school. That's on the next block down, yeah.
I got a spot.
Okay. Anyway, I'm looking for the name of that damn book.
I've been a lot of books, but a lot of them I don't recommend to read about.
Hi, Bob Dean.
Kathy.
Oh, hi, Bob Dean. It's Becky, a volunteer for Yes on Proposition 8. Thank you, Becky. Don't forget to vote. Where the hell is that? Oh, well, I could sit here all day and scroll like everybody else does, and it's rude as hell.
I love scrolling.
It's rude as hell.
It puts me to sleep, though.
But it's a book that's coming out by Cheryl Charming. I can't remember. It's Cocktails and Something, but it's about our friend. Not about, specifically. It's about cocktails and their histories and stuff. And Cheryl Cook, who has been a guest, call-in guest from Miami on the Bob Dean Show.
Yay.
There's a featured story about Cheryl, and she is, in fact, the developer of the Cosmopolitan cocktail, the creator.
That is so crazy.
Isn't it? And hopefully, I don't know if the picture that that Cheryl sent, it's one of me in like 1993, and I'm young and have lots of hair, and I'm wearing a Budweiser cap because I always wore Budweiser red and white caps everywhere I went. Smoked Marlboros too. but it documents how Cheryl invented the drink, Crispy, and myself were involved on the first day.
That is so fun.
Yeah.
That's great.
And you can get that on Amazon. It's not out yet, but you can pre-order it on Amazon.
Can I ask you, when you make a Cosmo? Do you do it with the orange where you burn the peel?
No, that's
the oil
that I'm sure it's delicious. But the original Cosmo is vodka, a dash of Cointreau, a dash of cranberry, and a dash of Rose's lime. That's the recipe. It should
no
be just a
lime
perfect
or,
nothing. And then a lime in it, but you should
I heard if you I've always where you burn the orange peel and the oil spreads across the top. And then what you get is the smell of the orange first and then drink the candy.
Well, that sounds delicious, but it's wrong.
Oh, damn.
No, I mean, it sounds delicious, but
well,
that's also
a lot less work for a bartender.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's one of those concoctions that I would be like, can I get it that way? I'd be like, no.
That's why I said I asked him that because I what know he just slapped me.
What is your favorite drink to make?
Vodka on the rocks or gin on the rocks. You know, it's the thing about it is that I don't know. There's just something about these cocktail concoctions. Because I'm a salty old surly bartender. I'm a great bartender and I'm a fast bartender. Uh-huh. But I'm sorry when it comes down to this all this crap with sliced cucumber and grated ginger. You know, there's too time consuming. I mean, it looks great when you're watching it on the recipe channel and they've got everything right there in front of you and you're like, "Oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that." Yeah, I'd be doing that all day. But when somebody asks for something and you got to go, 100 yards to get a stupid egg for a pisco sour, which is nasty anyway.
What's a pisco sour?
It's pisco. It's this Brazilian liqueur you know? And of course, there are mixologists all over the world right now that are watching this going, what an idiot, what a douchebag. Yeah, I am. I don't care. But it's pisco with an egg white, because egg whites were big years ago, like in things whiskey sours and all. They're making a comeback. But it's like, I don't know.
I am.
Egg whites, really, that's okay. Things like in a Ramos Fizz, blah, blah, that's no big deal. But when they want you to grate up all this ginger and just picture having three different drinks like that, while you've got other people at the bar going, can I order my chicken wings? Can I order my sliders? Why is it taking so long? You know.
The sliders are delicious.
The food is great. Hi, Maybelline. I thought Kathy was squeezing my leg. You want to come up? Are you coming to my house on Christmas Eve this year again, too?
Yes, I am, Bob. As a matter of fact, I had so much fun last year.
And she's got a new
dress. And Kathy and I were the last ones to leave at 4 o'clock in the morning.
That was my first time.
Well, remember, ladies and gentlemen, Bob's Happy Birthday Baby Jesus Cocktail Soiree is a benefit for the West Los Angeles Animal Shelter. Yay.
And then I found out.
Maybelline.
Then I found out the thing that I donated was actually recalled for maybe E. coli or something.
What? Thanks.
It's very expensive dried.
Everything's being friggin' recalled.
Sometimes things that are expensive are worse.
Can I borrow that hand for a minute?
No, at least that I know of. No dogs are dead. Yeah. If they're famous dogs, anyway.
Yeah, you can have your hand up.
Oh, thank you very much.
But yeah. So, but Chris, since we're just doing a little chat about anything and everything, my annual Happy Birthday Baby Jesus Cocktail Soiree is coming up. It is a great party.
Here, it's rager.
Well, it is. Well, you know.
And I got a beautiful, he gave away beautiful gifts, things I really needed.
We already started shopping for him yesterday.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah. Everybody gets to pick something from under the Christmas. Well, we used to have a Christmas ladder. We had an actual tree last year.
Christmas ladder?
Well, it was tradition. The house, you know, the developer that ruins everything. There was a beautiful little house next door to the apartment where I live, and long story short, is that the backyard was full of glorious fruit trees. It was Garden of Eden. It literally was. That's why I rented the apartment. And you know, 2 months after I moved in, they leveled the house and built a beautiful, 1.5 million monstrosity. And it's funny, too, because the neighbor's bedroom window is right against mine, so I like to walk around. And I'm large and somewhat hairy.
The birds when they took down the trees?
They did that to my
They flew around screaming.
It was terrible. The guy that lives across the hall, Roger, has lived in this building for 30 years. And the couple, was it elderly? Because that whole neighborhood was a Japanese settlement. We talked about this because your sister, it's a gorgeous neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know the neighborhood very well.
I do.
And now it's being gentrified. And there was a Japanese couple that lived in the house that I'm speaking of that has since been torn down. And they had lived there for 60 or 70 years, I'm sure. And they planted these bottle brush trees, which are the big green trees with the gorgeous red flower. You know, they look like bottle brushes. And they planted those along their borderline, no doubt, to cover the apartment building that I live in, which was state-of-the-art for 1957.
Right.
All right. And it's nothing fancy, but it's a nice building. The trees were so beautiful and so tall that you could see them from Google Earth. And, you know, that's why I ran the apartment, because then they stopped and then you could see all the fruit trees in the backyard. It was flat out beautiful. And then in one day they came and cut everything down, and I laid on my, because I could lay on my sofa and watch all the different varieties of birds. And it was tragic. I cried. My neighbors cried.
First of all, the fact that they don't even dig some of the things up and put them.
Exactly. And they can do it. They can do it. They can transfer those trees. They can do it. But they're too stinking greedy. And there's too many damn people on this earth, but I'm not going to cut that
and
part
plus,
out.
With well, the, I mean, the you know, housing in California, they.
But the birds, but what Dennis was referring to is that the birds, there were like 100 different varieties of birds that were just circling and crying.
That's a lot.
Because they didn't know where the hell to go.
And that's where. And then
the house on the corner, they took down those, like they had, because the sidewalks are dated 1930. So the houses were built in like 28, 29, 30. And these friggin' California palms.
Beautiful palms.
They're as big around as this table.
Wow.
Yeah, boom, just like that. Because we did take we made a sign and said, it took me 98 years to grow, and it's going to take you 5 minutes to cut me down. Go to hell, you greedy developer. And we took it out there right in the middle of the afternoon and nailed it to the tree.
Sure.
And it lasted for about 3 or 4 days before they came and tore it down. But, I mean, you know, what are you going to do?
Wow,
that's progress. Yeah. And
my brother-in-law cuts down trees. So.
Oh, sure.
Well, now
but,
the thing
oh, in Connecticut, where sometimes people, because they're falling on like the house or something.
But it's like something that I learned too is that with the wildfires and all that, that's part of nature. I mean, that has to be
it's
done.
How you,
these forests
re,
have to burn
rebirths.
So they can, you know, start fresh and re-go. I'm talking about urban trees that easily can be built around. You know, they can easily be built around. They can save 1 foot, 2 feet of parking lot space.
Yeah, and they also go under build. They took all of ours down in front of my building because it was the roots were causing the
sidewalks.
No, the actual building itself because they were in a
or the foundation.
Yeah,
foundation growing up. And but the thing is, again, they have banana palms and all that. They could have taken those, put them on the roof because you can use it. We have a huge roof. And they took them all out, and instead of putting grass back, they put AstroTurf, but the good kind. It looks like grass, but still.
The good kind.
And they put cypress, which birds can't even sit on cypress trees because they're.
What's it smell like? I mean, you say it looks like grass, but what does it smell like?
It doesn't smell like
it doesn't have any odor.
Chemicals.
Plastic.
Chemical warfare.
No. It actually, but the thing is, I mean, I'm into sod, you know, like grass. You should lay some grass.
That's how I used to make my dirty martinis with real sod, but
real
people
sod.
Got all pissy about it.
Ha, ha, but, ha,
that's basically what. But yeah, they cut the trees down, and then I think this they have to, by law, replace what they cut down with something. Mm-hmm. I'm not real sure.
AstroTurf.
AstroTurf, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, I am definitely a friggin' tree hugger, and you know, I now that I've seen, you know, it's just because they're just very old and they can be salvaged.
I
they
may
can
be
built around.
I may be chained to a tree just because it'll be my new apartment. But
honey, you can live in the Roadmaster station wagon with us. That's why I decided to start reconditioning that car little by little. Because I know I'm going to end up living in it someday. Seriously.
I've lived in a car, and I know how to do it.
You guys know how expensive it is to live in this town. It's ridiculous, and it's just getting worse.
Yeah, I know how to do it, except that my makeup mirror, this is true. The chance of winning the lottery are better. My makeup mirror, magnifying, was on the floor in the back. I was parked at my friend's. The sun came up. Thank God I was at the car. Sun came up, hit the makeup mirror, and caught my car seat on fire. And I'm like, oh my God! And I cover the makeup mirror, and I thought to myself, that would not happen to anybody in the whole world.
No, me
and
maybe.
And my girlfriend,
but...
I went up and I go, my car just got on fire. And she goes, you have such bad luck. I go, no, if I had bad luck, I would have been up here, not down there when it happened.
Well, it's a good thing you weren't like taking a beauty nap and
put
a big sear
in
your
jewelry. Oh, God, this is terrible.
Keep that part out of the how-to pamphlet.
Don't put your makeup mirror. Don't put your makeup mirror anywhere, even in your windows inside your house. Do not have the word this.
I'll remember that because, you know, my pores sometimes bother me. I need those big mirrors.
Well, they bother me too. I was going to say.
Because you can see them.
No,
I put one of those pore strips on the other night.
You did have Peore or whatever.
Well, it was that we got into the Chinese. What's the name of that store? The Japanese.
They have the best. It's just saying
it's the one that's over.
It's over on Sawtell.
Sawtell. Yeah, it's like the Target, the Japanese Target. It's really neat store.
No, it's a Japanese dollar store. But
Japanese dollar store.
Daiichi.
Daiichi or Daihatsu.
I think it's Daiichi.
Well, anyway, we got some of those nose strips, and we put one on, and it was like, it's like C-Bond denture adhesive.
I know, and you see all these little things.
Well, I was hoping to see.
Wait a minute. First, he walked out of the store with them in his pocket.
Oh, yeah. I think I mentioned that on a prior episode.
Oh, yeah.
That
then he went back and paid for them. They're like, whatever.
Here. I did, because it's a shop. And we went into the Japanese market. That's really cool. You know what we're talking about, in that little plaza there?
Yep.
Because your sister lives just around the block from
there. Uh-huh.
But, and that's a great market, too.
Yeah, it's really great.
Yeah.
Super fun stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's super cool. But super lame parking. So that's another reason.
Yeah, the parking over there is horrendous.
Horrendous.
On Sawtell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sawtell above Olympic. And
stuff. But it's neat. But they put on those small, as a matter of fact, Hector and Carol, no last names mentioned, but Villiebos, they're a really cool couple. That he grew up in that neighborhood.
He doesn't know the last name.
And he and Carol took us on a motor tour of what's left of the neighborhood. And he was talking about what Sawtell was like in the 50s.
Oh,
wow.
And he lived there when the 405 came through.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was really cool. Because the neighborhood where I live, where we live, and Sammy's sister lives and all, it's a really, really, really – well, Los Angeles is full of friggin' cool neighborhoods.
Los Angeles
is great.
Yeah.
It's full. And each neighborhood has a history. And this particular neighborhood that we're in was Japanese. And that it's called Japantown. They've named it Japantown now. And it's kind of it's sad to see because the old the houses that are still there that haven't been torn down by the developer yet, they're really, really older Japanese folks in them that you can see have lived there since the – like I spoke to one lady who said she and her husband moved in the day after their wedding in 1952.
Wow.
And some of the houses – most of the houses in on our blocks are older than that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from the 30s and that sort of thing.
Pre-war. Anything pre-war is just
Hector was telling us, it's like when he was just a teenager when the 405 came through, and he was talking about how, you know, the you know, what do you call it, our eminent domain and the streets and streets and streets of houses that used to be there. And how they were all empty for, you know, they'd leave things sitting and then, you know, he used to go and he and his friends would like knock out windows with rocks of the houses they were getting ready to tear down.
Wow.
And just the building of the 405, there was also a really cool thing that was on Facebook of the history of like the 405 freeway, which is the busiest stretch of freeway in the entire world from the loop of the 10 to the loop of the 101.
Yes,
sure. And the 405 in Sherman Oaks. Mm-hmm. And but it's just, I don't know, urban development is fascinating, but there's a lot they can do. So, but anyway, back to, bless you. Anyway.
That's the cutest sneeze.
A chew.
I make the earth shake when I sneeze.
Oh, that was in the damn Kimmy Schmidt thing. The you got to watch it, folks. We're talking about urban development in the neighborhood. But he was talking about all because that was there still are the nurseries and that sort of thing that have been there for generations and generations, and you know the developers are just like.
The name of the store is Daiso, not Daiichi. It's Daiso.
Daiso, Daiichi.
Yeah, I used to go to a market on Brighton Street there.
I was thinking about the nuclear Daiichi plant. What was that?
Well, let's go there.
Fukushima Daiichi. That's where Daiichi came from. The memory of Fukushima. Never mind.
No, I mean, now you're talking Let's about something nuclear. Relevant and interesting. I'm just rambling on. Now, isn't a dashiki like a dress?
No.
No, that's a...
Daihatsu.
Dashiki? No.
Dashi. I said daishi, not dashiki.
Well, I beg your pardon. I stand corrected. So what...
Fukushima daishi. When the earthquake happened over there, the tidal wave and the nuclear plant melted down.
Yeah. Oh,
Fukushima.
Yeah.
Fukushima daishi.
See, you're the smart one.
I confused Daiso with daishi. Because it's been so far out of my memory.
Well, that's good because I completely forgot myself.
Anyway.
Well, thank you.
Nerd.
Well, there'll be lots of presents under the tree what's it called?
Daiso Japan.
Daiso Japan. Oh, you know what? My. How do I word this? My Kate.
You're Kate?
No, my brother's stepdaughter. So I guess she's my step-niece, but she's a lovely girl. I met her a couple years ago, but she's very beautiful and very smart. She will be studying abroad in Japan, awesome. I think her senior year in high school for some time. My sister-in-law, Rachel. Nice. Hey, Rachel. Hi, Greg. She announced today. So that's pretty cool.
Cool. That is fun.
Yeah.
Neat.
I think it's real neat. Great. You know. Yeah.
Did you guys study abroad?
I studied abroad.
Ha.
Yeah. Ha. I'm studying abroad right now and another one over here.
No, I would love to. I would love to have been able to do that.
There are a broad range of abroad.
I went to public school and,
fair.
Did you?
No.
Did you get the opportunity to study abroad?
Mm-mm.
You?
I do not.
I studied abroad here and there.
Here and there. That's what we were just...
A couple of them.
No, I did. As continental as we all may appear.
Very worldly, this table.
Yes, we have not studied abroad. Joe, how about you?
You definitely have it.
Did you ever study abroad? Did you have the opportunity, or did you study abroad?
I went to Nantucket once.
Nantucket.
That's studying abroad.
Oh, congratulations to your Red Sox.
Thank you.
Yay. You
know, remember what you were telling me the other day? Mm-hmm. I was telling him, and he's like,
"What?
But how about that one game that went like
You didn't tell me that.
Yes, I did.
The longest game in history.
Jeez.
That was pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Impressive to the 13th inning, and it was like.
And then you just wanted to shoot everybody.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, no, you can't say that now. Sorry.
But boy, the Red Sox made, I mean, the last game was just a cleanup.
Really?
You know.
Squirking.
Oh, my God.
I didn't watch.
They knocked in like 4 runs in, what, 2 innings?
I just was, you know.
In the last game?
The last game, yeah.
It was 4 runs in 2 innings, right? Or 1 inning, something.
That's why I don't date guys that watch sports, because you lose them for seasons at a time, and especially a game like that.
That sounds ideal, honestly.
Sent me shopping. What?
Nothing. I'm just thinking.
You like football, don't you?
No.
He just wears a jersey.
Yeah, because they're cool jerseys. I use this in my act. I use creative license on it, but, you know, my mother was more upset that I didn't care for football than the fact that I played for the other team. What does that mean, 4 minutes?
Yeah, we're at 40.
We're at 40. See, look at that. I didn't even know that. That's really cool.
Oh.
40 minutes already. Time flies. But yeah. So, no, I'm not a big football fan. I'd rather watch friggin' volleyball. Volleyball on TV. Beach volleyball? In a gym volleyball.
Yeah, their butts are great.
I don't understand.
It just has never appealed to me. I come from a huge football family. Everybody I know, friends, family, everybody loves it. But it just moves so friggin' slow. And it's like the same thing. It's like, why can't every game be as exciting as what always boils down to in the NBA playoffs, in the World Series, and in the Super Bowl?
Sure.
You know, then those games are like, you know, everybody loves Super Bowl, but we're all glued to it. But there's always so much friggin' amazing action and amazing plays. But the rest of it, it's like,
I always liked
how
hockey.
Many Budweiser commercials. Hockey, I love
it's
watching hockey.
The only
hockey.
Place you can get 2 minutes for hooking. Only 2 minutes.
Got St. George with another zing.
Uh-huh. But I'm
no, I
standing
love,
under
I
the
love
wrong
hockey,
bridge.
Though. I used to watch hockey all the time and go to the games. And the funny thing is I would get free tickets from restaurants that I knew weren't using them to go see the show, games here. And then when I couldn't get the tickets, this is not racist. It's not racist because I knew my friends that own Interscope Records, because because it's not, it's basically a Canadian game, you know. It's like I would call record labels and get their tickets, record labels and get free tickets.
Well, what does that have to do with being racist?
Well, because I'd call Motown and Interscope.
So.
Because they wouldn't use them, and Interscope was owned by Ted Fields and Jimmy Iovine at the time, so it's like they're. But they said we never use the tickets because all the big record labels have tickets, like for football,
promotional tickets.
Yeah, and they give them out. And the hockey they never gave out. Oh. So I got to get them.
God, I thought I had long-winded unclimactic stories. I'm sorry. That was okay though. You guys want to play Just Jump? Okay.
Absolutely.
Yay! Dennis is the host of Just Jump. The host of Just Jump. Dennis Salt, we need to get a theme song for that. Oh, by the way, Joe, your new intro, thank you very much, is great, don't you think?
Absolutely,
Joe. We need to pass it. Oh, you have the book.
Powerhouse, and he actually takes pictures for Historical Roast, and it's great, yeah.
Now, once I get the, it should be any day when I get the video from my last show at Laugh Factory, we'll start working on that project.
Cut that out.
Yay. Okay, it's time for Just Jump, hosted by Dennis Olsen.
Just Jump.
My husband and I are invited to an out-of-town wedding, but he will be unable to go. Would it be correct for my son, a college freshman in school near the city where the wedding will take place, to meet me and go as my escort?
Of course. Absolutely.
I zoned out.
So did I! I act like I know what I'm talking about.
Read the question again for the ladies.
Weddings, just...
Yeah,
I walk away.
Yikes, I'm PMSing.
Go ahead.
Okay. My husband and I are invited to an out-of-town wedding, but he will be unable to go.
The husband can't
Would it be
go,
correct
y'all.
For my son, a college freshman in school near the city where the wedding will take place, to meet me and go as my escort?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
As long as you kiss after.
Yes.
Yes.
I picked one with a short answer. It just says yes.
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 The incest family.
My aunt passed away a year ago. Would it be proper for me to have her daughter as a junior bridesmaid in the bridal party? She is 11. Also, would it be all right for me to have a flower girl of 6 in addition to the junior bridesmaid?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes, in both cases.
Shucks.
Want to keep going?
Let's pick another question.
Okay, we're on the clock. I've been dating a girl for 10 months.
Yeah,
I plan to give her a Christmas present, but should I include her father and mother too? I have been entertained in their home many times, and they are very friendly toward me.
Do it again.
Kathy,
put on your thinking cap.
I mean, no.
Okay. I've been dating a girl for 10 months.
Brag.
I plan to give her a Christmas present, but should I include her father and mother too? I have been entertained in their home many times, and they are very friendly toward me.
Is she being entertained on Christmas, though?
Oh, that's a good question.
That is a good question, but it doesn't mention it.
Okay.
If she's being entertained on Christmas, bring a little something, I would bring a meal or something nice.
You never come empty-handed.
If she's not, I'd say, eh.
Yeah, I would say, I kind of agree with Kathy. I would say if he's going to their home for Christmas, he should always bring a little something. Uh-huh. A bun cake or a bottle of White Zinfandel or a cascading basket.
Cascading basket?
Like a wandering Jew or a plant, a cascading basket.
Or a fire extinguisher, because you never know.
There you go.
Right,
there
you know, so, but seriously, though, yeah, he can give his girlfriend a 10-month gift, but the parents, I don't think, are included unless he's going to their home.
Yeah.
I think that he should definitely give a gift, whether or not he's visiting them on the holiday.
Okay. It would be nice to give the girl's mother an impersonal gift or to give some small gift to the household, which the father and mother will both enjoy. If Christmas giving is a strain financially, you could do this at any time during the year. You would, of course, very probably send a Christmas card to the girl's parents.
Yes.
Huh. Oh, my God. I never did that.
You know what's nice, too, is getting cards. Anybody? I got a card from Chris R. Talent behind the She is also the soap weenie. I can't get her to call him, but yeah, that's her. My spooky Halloween story is that she wouldn't get out of the car to soap the windows. So after on Halloween when we were like, you know, this is like 1988, 89.
That's so funny.
So I let her out of the car. She went in her house and then I soaped her car and wrote soap weenie all over it.
That's great.
Okay, next.
We have time for one more.
We have time for one more.
Yeah, we've got like 3 minutes.
I live in a small town and go to a beauty shop operated by a woman who owns it. She has one extra operator, but she herself usually takes care of me. Now the question is, do I tip her? And when I go into the nearest city, what's the usual there in beauty parlors? Do you tip all of the people who serve you in some way? This gets very expensive if so.
That's a really good question.
I don't. You don't tip the proprietor. I know that.
Well, you don't. But if they do your hair, I would.
Yeah.
If they're doing it,
I would leave a tip because she
can put it in with the. But
she might put it in a pool for the other employees.
I always tip the washer like $5, and then I tip the other person percentage.
But I guess. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I just thought it was like a beauty store, like for like makeup and things, not like.
No.
It's a beauty shop.
Beauty parlor.
Got it. Yeah, tip him.
I'm just thinking, did she get her nails and her hair and the valet parker and all that shit? I'll just give me a Flowbee. Well, okay, what does Amy say?
The operator of a shop with little or no help does not usually expect a tip, but because he's self-employed. The operator of a big city shop where there are many employees and who himself has customers is often tipped on the same scale as are his employees. Mm-hmm. If he's the kind of operator who has a supervisory job mainly and who takes only an occasional customer, he's usually not tipped, for he is classed as an artist of professional standing.
I've never been tipped as a makeup artist except once, one time.
Really?
Fuck. Yeah, and Bill Murray. He gave me a $100 tip, but only because I told off the director.
Okay, who have you done that hasn't given you a tip?
Yeah, give us a zillion names.
Give us some names.
I was trying to get a name.
But you know what? It's not. I'm not selling something, and
right?
So I don't expect a tip. It was shocking to get the tip. Actually,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it was like I think it was more just because he enjoyed the
company,
me the causing camaraderie. A ruckus. Mm.
Well, as the leper said to the prostitute, "Keep the tip."
Keep the tip, yes.
I guess that's all for our special Halloween edition of the Bob D. Show.
Yay.
Boo, right? Boo.
Spooky.
Ooh.
Happy Halloween.
Well, actually, this is after Halloween, so happy post-Halloween.
Is this
coming out on Friday.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
It's the season of the witch.
Happy Halloween. And remember getting home.
And let's see. Please follow us on
Stitcher.
iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. And YouTube and subscribe and download and there are some big changes coming up for the Bob Dean Show in the next few weeks.
And don't forget BobTheSurlyComic.com.
Oh yeah, thank you. And BobTheSurlyComic.com. And just tell all your friends. And I guess that's it. Anybody else? Happy Halloween to you. Happy Halloween to you. Happy Halloween, dear listeners of the Bob Dean Show. Yay. Yay. Happy Halloween to you. Yay.
Thank you, guys. Happy birthday, Sammy.
Oh, God. Sammy Junior's birthday is
tomorrow on Halloween. Okay, she's
ready?
Spooky.
Here we
little
go.
Friend
we
of
have one more.
She was
happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sammy.
Hooray!
Happy birthday to you. Now blow out the pumpkin.
Ooh.
Happy birthday, doll.
Thank you. Yeah.